Let's turn to Genesis, the 41st chapter. I want to begin reading in verse 38 and read several verses here to kind of set the context of what I want to speak to you about. And the title of the message is Forgetful and Fruitful. Forgetful and Fruitful. We're jumping right into this situation here. And if you've never read the account of Joseph in the Word of God, then you may be just a little bit lost. And I guess that's your assignment for this afternoon. Shame on us if we've never read it, because it's one of the most exciting stories in the Word of God. Genesis 41, we begin reading in verse 38. As Joseph has just interpreted the dream of Pharaoh, been brought out of prison, and he's about to ascend to the second in command of Egypt. And if you know anything about the story of Joseph, this is quite a turnaround from where Joseph began at age 17 when he was sold in slavery, and later at age 20 or 21, when he was falsely accused and imprisoned for 7 or 8, 9 or so years. Pharaoh said unto his servants, "Can we find such a one as this is," speaking of Joseph, "a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." I can just picture Pharaoh pointing to Joseph and pointing out into the land. "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, the king's ring, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before Joseph, "Bow the knee." And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh called Joseph's name, whatever that is, y'all can pronounce that later. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the 7 plenteous years, remember there were 7 plenteous years of great increase told by the Lord that was going to happen. And then there were going to be 7 years of famine where there would be no food in the land and in the whole region. And he went out through those 7 years, the earth brought forth by handfuls, and he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, and laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came. So in that time frame, from age 30 to 37, after Joseph married this priest's daughter, he has 2 children. Unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, he said, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. He named Manasseh forget or forgetful. And he named Ephraim fruitful. Very significant that he named these 2 boys what he named them. So I want to talk to you about that and the meaning of those names. The first one is Manasseh. And it means to cause to forget. Now remember, Joseph is probably 31 or 32 years old. And you think about what the poor fella has been through since he was 17. Having been sold into slavery by his brothers, they wanted to kill him first. And they sold him into slavery. And then he goes and becomes the chief of the house of the man that bought him. And then the wife of the man that bought him accuses him of wrongdoing. You know, it was the original hashtag Me Too situation that was totally unfounded in that particular instance. I know some of them are founded, but that was totally unfounded. False accusation, and he's in prison for 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And of course, in prison, he becomes the head of the prison. So Joseph has certainly made the best of the situations that he was thrust into. Can we say that? I know I can't. I tend to, when things don't go my way, I tend to poke my lip out and pout. And I'm sure that Joseph was not all just walking around going, hey, look at me, I'm happy. He wasn't happy, but he was processing things in a different way than just through his natural self. He was processing things through Jehovah God. And that's very important. If we want to be forgetful about things that have happened to us in the past, and we want to be fruitful in the land of our afflictions, then we must have the type of attitude that Joseph had. Head of the house of the slave, head of the slaves in the house that he was bought into in Egypt, and head of the prison, and now second in command in Egypt. That's an amazing, astonishing testimony to the grace of God. And so when he gets that first boy born to him and he holds him in his arms, he looks at him and you see all the emotion and all of the trouble and all the things that have come down to this moment. He says, I'm going to name this boy forgetful, Manasseh. The root of the word Manasseh is a continual pressing, like the imposition of a debt, which causes you to be oppressed. The English word for Manasseh would be close to what we know as gnash, G-N-A-S-H. We don't use that word much, but there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It has to do with a debt being imposed. And the release, or the causing of that debt to be released, or the pressure taken off. Have you ever felt the pressure of needing to pay the mortgage payment or the bill that was owed? I'm telling you, that's a strange kind of pressure, isn't it? It's a little different than somebody just coming up to you, you know, putting their finger in your face and accusing you of something or saying something to you. You know, you got that month-to-month pressure where you know you got to pay the bills, and you don't want to be like the old saying goes, you know, there's too much month at the end of the money. You don't want to be like that, but there's just that pressure there. And Joseph has been through that kind of pressure. It's just a continual pressing that is down on him like a debt that is owed. I believe this is teaching, one of the things that this is teaching is that we should have no doubt that Joseph has forgiven those that have wronged him. He is releasing the debt in the name of this very child as he looks upon that beautiful little new face, that new life. It's basically saying, I have forgotten all that I have been through. It doesn't mean that he doesn't remember it, but it is the way that he remembers it, see? Causing to forget. So being forgetful is different, a little different than just what he's talking about here, causing to forget. You know, I'm very forgetful, and I'm getting worse as I get older. I lost my keys the weekend that Sister Tracy and I went to Wilson Creek. And I texted Brother Graham, all of us in a group text, you know, hey, this, I even sent him a picture that I took of the church from the GPS, and I pointed out with highlights, these are the areas that I walked in. This is where I walked, you know, when I was at the church, this little L shape and inside. And of course, you know, later I found them in Sister Tracy's purse where I had put them. And I was just racking my brain about, where are those keys? I've got to have those keys. I'm so forgetful. When I was 12 or 13 years old, Dad bought what was the equivalent of basically half a lifetime supply of 20-gauge shotgun shells. And man, I loved it. It felt like we were armed to the teeth and ready for anything, Brother Luke. When I looked at that stack of shotgun, it was just 20-gauge, just for birds, you know. But that looked good to me when I was 12. We had this stack, you know, and I've got about 12 or 13, right, Brother Asher? About 12 or 13 of those shotgun shells left. I've used them since I was 12 years old. Brother Asher and I, other people have used them. If you went armadillo hunting with us at night, you used those shotgun shells. We've been using those for ages, decades, and I'm finally down to about 12 or 13. And now, as I stand here speaking to you about this, I think I'm just going to put them away as a token of of my history. You know, I hate to shoot the last one, or maybe just save the last one. But there's 12 or 13 left, and I put them somewhere. And Brother Asher was like, you know, I'm fixing to go out and maybe shoot a skunk or an armadillo. Where are those? And I'm like, can't remember where I put them. Those special shells, I can't remember. And I'm like, it'll come to me. I'll stumble across them. And sure enough, I stumbled across them. They were in the study. I had them in a drawer. I'm forgetful. So this is a little different than just being absent-minded. You understand that? This is something causing you to forget or not dwell on the pain of the past. Are y'all with me? So how could that possibly be? Picture Joseph sitting there holding that beautiful little baby, and he names him Forget, or causing to forget. Because what he's seeing in the present moment is something better than what he's been through in the past. Will y'all have that? You understand that? The experience of the moment is causing the pain of the past to be taken away. It doesn't mean that he's forgetful and can't remember how his brothers cruelly threw him in the well, wouldn't give him any water or food, and wanted to kill him and then sold him. No doubt, a look of confusion on his face as he travels off down the desert, chained and tied up with those Midian merchants that were carrying him to Egypt, and looking back and thinking, what just happened? My brothers, surely this is a joke. My brothers just sold me into slavery. And as he stands there and he looks at this baby, and he thinks about how God has delivered him, he's remembering the past in a different way. Y'all see that? So causing to forget is more associated with the current activity or the current situation that you're in, crowding out the pain of the past. You've got something better to think about. I think about when Dad passed away and we were all gathered around in the first 15 minutes of 2020. Boy, I tell you, if Dad was going to miss a year, he picked a good one to miss, didn't he? That old rascal, he got out of here. I think maybe he knew what was coming. Or maybe the Lord said, you just need to come on up. Got out and missed 2020. And we're all gathered around there singing Amazing Grace, and he breathed his last. You know, and that was sad, and it was hurtful, and it was mixtures of joy and sorrow. But, you know, when I think back on that, I don't fall into a depression, into a hole of depression or darkness. I think about what is coming, you see, because I'm going to see him again because of the resurrection. I look back on that, and I think, man, that was a great moment for the person to leave this life. And it was amazing to be in that moment. But I don't think about it in sadness. I think about it in anticipation. If that was a great moment, think about the moment that's coming whenever we're reunited. I think about that right now so I can smile. And I can say, praise God, I'm going to see him again. That is causing me to remember that experience in a different way, or in a way that doesn't take me down into a hole or a place of darkness. Y'all see that? Now, I didn't ask for permission to tell this, but I'm going to beg for forgiveness later from Sister Tracy. Trying to make the point to you about causing to forget. So after Sister Tracy and I had been married for probably less than a year, and we were learning one another. You know, we were growing closer, living up in Nashville. We were just having the best time. And so Sister Tracy decided she was going to cook a meal that was something that her grandmother had cooked. And it was a pasta thing that had tomato sauce in it, and it sounded really good. You know what she was telling me, and I'll go ahead and tell you, it did taste good. Okay, it did. It tasted fine. So, Sister Tracy, hopefully, she's not too mad at me, but it did not taste bad. It was elbow pasta, and when she set it out there in the bowl, and it kind of had stuck together, sort of in a round ball-like way, and it was red all over it. And I sat there and I looked at it. I said, "It looks like a brain," and I was like, okay, you know, I dug in and started eating, you know, but I was sitting there thinking, it just kind of feels weird. I feel like I'm eating a brain. I was thinking back to one of those Indiana Jones movies, you know, where they brought the monkey brains out to eat. You know, I know I'm crazy. Okay, but I went ahead and ate it, but I've always affectionately called that brain pasta. And so here's the point of that. I remember that. I laugh. It's funny. But let me say this. Sister Tracy's got a lot of miles of amazing cooking since those first few meals that we had whenever we were first married. And I've sat at the table many times, and I think this is the best thing I've ever tasted in my life. And as a side note, I have never once compared anything that my wife cooked to anything that my mother cooked. And men, don't ever do that. That's the most foolish thing you can do. But some of the best meals that I've ever tasted in my life since that time in the last 27 years. So it causes me to remember that in a different way. You see that? I laugh about it. I think it's funny. Now, you know, if we'd have had brain pasta, you know, week after week after week after week, I might have a little different feeling about that. But she has cooked so many good meals and prepared so much delicious food. You know, they say that the way to the heart of a man is through his stomach. You know, well, she, Sister Tracy, has certainly lived that out. And I don't remember that, those first few meals, like the brain pasta meal, like I did, like it was when I experienced it. Does that make sense? What's going on now and how the Lord is evident now causes me to remember things in the past in a different way. And that's exactly what Joseph is saying. I'm naming my son Manasseh, and it causes me to forget the things that I've experienced in the past. Now, what I've experienced, what you've experienced, what we've experienced, some of these examples I've given are funny about being forgetful and brain pasta and all that type of stuff. We're talking about some serious, serious issues that Joseph dealt with. 17 years old when he became an orphan, when he was dismissed by the brothers in his family. That's a formative age. Y'all understand that? You know, it's believed that the male brain does not even actually completely form, you know, until 19 or 20 years old. I know some of you ladies are sitting there thinking, well, my guy's 50 and he hadn't formed his yet. But listen, formative years, 17 years old, these would be things that would be completely detrimental to the growth and experience of a lot of God's children. But Joseph, at 17, and on through those next years, look, 17 years old, you say that's bad what happened to him. It was horrible. And it was even worse what happened to him when he was falsely accused, criminalized, and put in prison when he didn't even do anything wrong. These are terrible things that have happened to this young man. I believe that this is in the Word of God. It tells the truth of the life of Joseph. And I believe it's in here for us to understand. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter how difficult things are. If you'll process what you're going through by the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the things of God, and through the lens of the Spirit, then you can handle whatever comes along. Because I don't think any of you have been sold out into slavery by your brothers or your siblings. And I don't think any of you have ever been criminalized for something that you didn't do. So anything this side of that, and things could be worse than that, but anything this side of that, I think we can see our current situation, our blessings from now, cause us to forget. God hath made me to forget. What? Look there in the verse. He said, God hath made me to forget all my toil in all my father's house. You see what he's saying? Toil means worry or misery or pain, sorrow, travail, trouble. He's remembering the trouble and the worry and the stress that he had in his father's house and at the hands of his brothers. And he says, the Lord has caused me to forget those things. In other words, what I'm experiencing now is crowding out the thought of all of that, and I'm not going to dwell on that. I believe that you can say for sure that from age 17 and on down to age 30, I am certain that Joseph spent a lot of time dwelling on those things. Why did they do this to me? I was just telling them what God had given me in the dreams. You know, why are they treating me so bad? What did I do against them? And the answer to that, other than maybe running his mouth a little too much and not really understanding where his brothers were, you know, other than just maybe talking a little too much, he didn't do anything to them. He was actually helping them. He was preaching to them about their deliverance one day, and they rejected him. Does that sound familiar? The Lord Jesus Christ came, and he preached deliverance to his children. He preached that they were going to be delivered in a mighty way. And even Peter rejected him. And Christ had to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan," to Peter himself. Joseph was just telling them the truth. And they rejected him. I know that he spent many nights, many lonely nights in the house of the prison thinking back, what did I do wrong? What did I do? And now he names this boy causing to forget or forgetful. Forget what? All my toil in my father's house. But I'm going to tell you this now. He didn't forget everything. Genesis 42 and 9, it says that Joseph, when his brothers came in the days of famine, it says that Joseph remembered the dreams he had dreamed of them. He didn't forget everything, did he? Praise God. He didn't forget everything. He remembered the dreams when the brothers came before him and bowed down and they didn't recognize him and they didn't know who he was. In his mind, he thought of, oh my goodness, this is the actual literal fulfillment of those dreams that I had that they rejected me for. That's amazing, isn't it? So he names the first boy forgetful, or causing to forget. And the name of the second he called Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Ephraim means fruitful. It actually means doubly fruitful, producing twice as much. The word comes from a word that means to, when the oxen would trample on the seed in the threshing floor, and they would break open the husk and the seeds would open up, and then they would gather the seed in the husk and the other would blow away. It also comes from the wine press, which is where grapes were trampled, placed in a wine press, trampled and crushed underfoot, and they bring the juice out of the grape. It's also a sub name or a side name for Bethlehem. Bethlehem Ephratah. Ephraim means Ephratah. It means fruitful. Remember the town that David came from, the town that Jesus was born in, Bethlehem Ephratah. Ephratah means Ephraim. Fruitful in affliction. The word affliction is the word picture of when you curl up your brow here and you're doing this. You know, I know the folks on the podcast won't be able to see what I'm doing, but you know, when you really get to concentrating and you're hurting, you know, and you have this furrow come up here in your brow, that's the word picture of affliction. You know, things that cause you to kind of grimace and cause pain and cause anguish. It's kind of the opposite of a smile on your face. Affliction also is connected with the word for depression. In the land of my depression, where I am depressed, where I am pressed down. Two distinct, painful phases in the life of Joseph. Did y'all see that? He said, he has made me to forget those things that happened, the toil of my father's house. That was up to age 17. And then in the land of my affliction, which is the land of Egypt, where he was sold into slavery and where he was eventually criminalized and he was put in prison. He says, this second boy, this phase two here, if you will, he has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Is that not a prayer that we should have on a daily basis? Lord, help me to not remember the past in a way that paralyzes me, that keeps me pressed down, that keeps me in depression. And help me to be fruitful in the land where I am being afflicted right now. You say, well, I don't feel any afflictions right now. Listen, this world is a land of affliction. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer in your land of tribulation, in your world of tribulation, for I have overcome the world. You see that? We can be fruitful in the land of affliction. We can forget those things that have affected us and produce fruit in the land of affliction. And I want to say this to you. Until you do forget some things that's behind you, there's no way to be fruitful right now. We've all been hurt. We've all been offended. And we've hurt and offended, haven't we? Because we're sinners too. But if we dwell on that and we hang on to that and we hold to that, we can never experience or see the glorious things like Joseph saw. Because whether you realize it or not, you've been promoted. You're a special, born-again, blood-bought child of God. And you are special to God. You may not feel very special. And you may not think that you're special in the world. But you are a blood-bought, purchased child of God. And you are the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are special. Because he said, I don't feel special. Because he said you are, and he made you special. And then he calls upon us to remember those things that we have done. It might not be what someone did to you that hangs us up on the past, but it may be the guilt associated with thinking about the things that I have done myself or yourself, the things that you have done yourself. There are people that are paralyzed because they think, how could God ever forgive me? Sister Bobby was telling me recently about one of our relatives that was down here in Springertown and attended this church right here 100 years ago. Or 75 years ago. And he was an advocate for truth. And he liked, well, actually, Brother Luke, he might have been a little more than an advocate for truth. He was more of an arguer for truth. And we've all fallen off into that trap from time to time. But he liked to argue and debate about the truth. And he never joined the church. He was one of the most vehement debaters about the truth, but he never joined the church. And somebody asked him one time, why didn't you join the church? He said, I don't feel worthy. I don't feel like I'm worthy enough to join the church. And you know what the answer to that is? None of us are. None of us are worthy to join the church of God. None of us are worthy to be blood-bought, purchased children of God by the blood of Christ. None of us are worthy of that. So it might be that the sins of the past come back and haunt us in such a way that we feel paralyzed and we can't move forward. But child of God, the Lord Jesus Christ has paid for your sins. He's paid for my sins, and you don't have to be paralyzed. As a matter of fact, in many ways, the Lord Himself is very much, in a greater way, like Joseph, because Joseph was caused to forget some things in the past. And because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the sacrifice, remember this, the Lord has forgotten the penalty of your sins. It doesn't mean that He forgot what you did, because he's not oblivious to what we do, but He remembers it in a way with the blood of Christ applied. And you should do that too. You should remember what you have done in the past with the blood of Christ applied. The work of Christ has caused God to forget the penalty of your sins. Isn't that great? Listen, there's something better to think about. When Joseph looked at those little babies, you see what he was thinking? When you say, well, I don't have a baby to look at. Well, I'll be happy to, I'm sure Sister Madison, Brother Heath would mind letting you look at their baby or others that have babies in the community, in the congregation. Sure, look at it. It'll make you feel better just look at a smiling baby. But you don't have to look at a little baby like Joseph did if you don't have one. But you look to Jesus Christ. You look to the Lord who has paid for your sins, who has made the Lord forget the penalty of your sins, and that's enough. There's something better right now. Right now. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can forget and you can be fruitful. I hope this has been a blessing to help us process our situation right now in the land of affliction. There's coming a day when you're not going to be living in the land of affliction anymore. I can't wait.